Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. I am excited to preach tonight. I'm batting for, I think it was Pastor Nick that was going to be up, but he's out of town. So, and I'm up next week, so you're going to get me 2 weeks in a row, if that's okay with you guys. Yeah. All right. But I do want to come back to something I was talking about on a Wednesday night a while back, about what, you know, we talk about comes about. What we talk about comes about. So I've entitled the message tonight, Whatever You Say. And just recently, I was watching a Jesse Duplantis sermon, and he mentioned that he has a new book out called I Never Learned to Doubt. And so I brought a little bit of it tonight, and I wanted to read it to you before I jump into what I had written for tonight. But he says this, I've learned that it doesn't matter what other people say if they don't say what God says. If God says something, it's going to happen. I've heard many people say, I won't believe it until I see it. And even if they do see it, they'll respond, I see it, but I don't believe it. I can't believe my own eyes. How many of you have said that? I can't believe my own eyes. Human beings are fickle like that. But there is a stability that I've found in faith that just can't match the human mind's fickleness. The word renews the mind. But faith in the word changes the heart. You see, you can't convince your mind of something your heart refuses to believe or accept. That's so good. You can say, this is going to be a problem. Do I need another mic? You can say, I want to be blessed financially all day long, but if deep in your heart you believe that you can't really experience financial success, then your heart will win that battle. Did you hear that? It's got to go from information to revelation. Amen? And faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So the more we hear the word of God, the more faith is, the potential for faith is there. But the word of God talks about a lot of people listening to Jesus. So there were people there that were listening, but they didn't hear. You know that you can be in the room and hear someone talking and not really hear what they're saying. Right? Check, check. Check, check. Give it up for Miss Kim, and I'll wait till you get back up there to give me a hot mic. We just are multitasking. Isn't that wonderful that we can just do all these things in here? So it's not just about hearing things. Listening. Here we go. See how talented we are? It takes us all. Thank you, Miss Kim. I should turn this off. It's about really hearing it. It's about a heart reset. And I want you to know that when you've gone through trauma or you've gone through a difficult season where you were praying for a certain outcome and maybe it didn't turn out the way you thought, the challenge is to continue to believe the word of God. Amen. How many of you have believed God for like a financial breakthrough and it didn't come when you thought it would? And then the challenge was to continue to believe God as your provider. Right? What I want you to do tonight is refuse to undo in faith or in doubt what you sowed in faith. And how do we do that? How do we undo what we sowed in faith? With our mouth. Jesus said we have the same power that he has. Right? The same power. He gave us the same authority. He created us in his image, first of all, with the ability to speak. And the Bible says there's life and death in the power of our tongue. So when Jesus knew he was going to be leaving, he decided, I'm going to give them my authority to speak with the same authority and the same power that I have. And I want you to see something in Mark 11, 21 through 23. I'm going to skip that point A for a moment. I may come back to that, Kim, so just hold that for a second. But Jesus walked by a fig tree one day, and he spoke to the fig tree, and there's all kinds of theological reasons he did that. And when he looked at the tree, he cursed the tree because there was no fruit on it. He had expected there to be fruit on this tree. And so Peter, they're walking by it again, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Take note of that. The tree heard some words that came out of the mouth of someone with authority, and now it's withering away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Interesting, huh? And then he goes, he first of all says, have faith. When you look at some versions, it says, have the faith of God. In other words, I've given you my faith. Now have it, right? And then he says, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever, come on, everybody stay with me. Whoever, when I'm teaching, you better be looking at that screen up there because I want you to listen to me, but I want you to pay attention because I want you to pull out of here something tonight. It's stuff we know. We read the Bible and we know this stuff. But one of the most reckless things we do as human beings, which is problematic for all of us, is our mouth is just on autopilot. Do you ever feel like that? Like, we just get up and we just start talking and we just start saying stuff. And we're not really mindful that what on earth am I saying? Years ago, it began to occur to me that, well, first of all, I know I get paid to talk. I used to get in trouble in grade school for talking. My teacher said one day, Chalk, he called me Chalk Talk because that was my maiden name. He said, you should get into a career where you get paid to talk, but you cannot talk in my class. You have to write on the board, I will not talk in Mr. Simon's class. So I filled up chalkboards, to say the least, with that sentence. That's why I say it bothers me when my handwriting is bad, because I wrote a lot, okay? But it occurred to me that I could just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and then finally I'm just like, why do I feel so bad? It's because I was talking crap. Right? And there's something that happens to us when we aren't talking well. We begin to wither. Our hopes begin to wither. The things that God had destined for us begin to wither away in our life. Why? Because we're the ones with authority speaking in this vessel. It's not only the people that we speak to, it's the vessel we speak through. Amen? So Jesus begins to say, whoever says, mark the word says, to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he say with the things he says. So whoever says to the mountain and then believes that the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So there's this thing about saying. Right? There's no more powerful voice than your voice. God wants to use your voice to accomplish his will on the earth. Say that again. God wants to use your voice to accomplish his will on the earth. But so does Satan. Satan needs a vessel that makes sound. And he wants to use your tongue. Now, some of you were here on Thanksgiving when I showed a video by a Chinese chemist that had done his name was Emoto, but he had done an experiment with water molecules. And he had people speak over water. You know that the body is 80% water and the rest dirt, right? Because we were formed out of the dirt. But I want you to pay attention to that we're made up of a large portion of water. So he had them speak over water, and then the water was frozen very, very quickly with some kind of hydrogen or something. Anyways, immediately the words were creating these prisms that look like snowflakes based on the words that were spoken over the water. And any word that devalued a human being or was destructive, it created instead of a prism or it forming into something beautiful, it blew a hole, a dark black hole in this water molecule. So I hate you, and other curse words. It separated the water molecule. It shattered it. And instead of it coming together and forming into something beautiful, it was destroyed. The words "I love you," words of affirmation, words that added value, they formed into no less than 6 prisms. Now stay with me. 6 is the number of man, but 7 is the number of wholeness. Loving words, affirming words, faith-filled words caused what was shattered and destroyed and potentially void of beauty and form to come back together with no less than 6 prisms, a whole man. And the more beautiful the words, the more elegant and developed the prisms. In fact, the word wisdom was like 12-sided. And I stood there in absolute fascination at what I was seeing. Because God has given us the ability to create wholeness if we will speak his words over ourselves and others. We have the potential with our own words and authority that God has given to us to either build and expand and beautify or to shatter and destroy the human soul. If those words did that to an actual water molecule, what do you think they are doing to you who is made up of 80% water or more? What do you think those words are doing to those around you? And this is, I'm not here to condemn. I'm saying it could be beautiful, it could be wonderful, but it all depends on what you're saying. So whatever you say is causing things to happen. That's why Jesus said that we need to think deeply about the words that we use. Jesse goes on in his book, and he says, you know, the word says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And all of us believe that one day we'll see God in heaven, but this verse also shows us the importance of purity in the heart itself. You are blessed when you are pure of heart. It's easy to see the effects of God and his principles in this life when you are pure of heart. And I believe that it takes faith to become pure of heart. And I like that because, you know, there's so much stuff that gets up in our heart. And he's not just talking about you're going to just one day see like a, you know, a picture of God and you may see his face and all of that. But like, I believe God was saying the pure in heart, they begin to see God, the power of God, the beauty of God, the love of God, the intentions of God, all of that for themselves and for their communities and for those around them. But it takes being mindful. It takes us stopping and slowing down. I was profoundly impacted by the picture that thank you produced in those water molecules. Just thank you. The words thank you. It was astounding. You couldn't count the number of prisms. It just blew up into this very beautiful thing. And this is why Paul was constantly saying, look, in everything, no matter what the circumstances are in life, thank God every day, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen? That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and I love that. Continually give thanks. If you're in Christ Jesus, give thanks. But we need to be thanking God for the miracles ahead of time. We need to think, you know, this miracle is on the way. The Bible says we count the things that are not as if they already are. And many times we get caught talking about the current circumstances rather than thanking God in the circumstances. And the more negative we talk about it and the more we rehearse it, the worse we feel. Amen? And it's true. I mean, even in the psychology field, I was talking with Dr. Barber this morning. We talk on Wednesdays. But, you know, there's just so many people that I'm sure are in counseling sessions trying to get wisdom for how to fix what they talked themselves into. You can't pay your way out. I mean, get wisdom. But if you walk out with the wisdom of God and you don't do anything with it and you keep talking the same, it isn't going to change. Amen? So Jesus said that those who omit gratitude for what they have and refuse to use their gifts wisely will have what they do have taken away. Those that are thankful and value what God gave them and use what they have to bless others will have more. And you know, we think about that. We have been given such an opportunity, not just to give material things, but to give our love and to give our affirmation and to give our words. In Luke 19:26, Jesus said this, I tell you that to everyone who has, because he valued his gifts from God and has used them wisely, more will be given. But from the one who does not have, because he disregarded his gifts from God, even what he has will be taken away. Now, that word value means this, to show gratitude and appreciate it. The word appreciate means to increase in size, quantity, or value. Think about that. What is gratitude? It's appreciation. If you want the things in your life that are good to increase in size, quantity, or value, what do you need to do? Be thankful. You know, the enemy wants, he works overtime on us focusing on what we don't have rather than being thankful for what we do. And even in the middle of the most difficult circumstances, you have a reason to be thankful, and you must, for your own health, for your own wholeness, and for your future. How many people have you known that they took a hard hit and all of a sudden they began to focus on their loss and talk about their loss, and they were no longer grateful? In fact, many people blame God for the misfortunes that happened to them. I'm going to quote this all wrong, but I'm not even going to try. In the message, one of the messages, I can't even remember if it was Jerry Savelle or one of the guys, they do their conference every year, and it's the same tribe, but they were saying that I believe it was Kenneth Copeland, and he wanted something from God. And he said, I told the Lord, you know, that I want him to do such and such for me. And, you know, asking for it, of course, not demanding. And the Lord told him, Kenneth, that is not my responsibility. It's yours. I've given you authority on the earth. You know, when you reach his status, God could talk to you like that. And what are you going to say about it? That's, I think, the question God asked. What are you going to say about it? You want it? What are you going to say about it? You're going to keep just waiting, saying, I'm just waiting on God to do this or that. He's, start talking, Kenneth. What are you going to say about it? And I'm asking you tonight, where are you at? Are you facing a challenge right now? Are you facing some kind of hardship? And you waiting for God to turn it around? I want to ask you this. What are you going to say about it? Whatever you say. And I'm not being sassy or, you know, trying to be a smart mouth over here tonight, but I'm telling you, there's wisdom in this mouth. Because God is saying to each of us right now, what are you going to say about it? It's a question. What do you have to say about that? And I guarantee you, you start saying what God says, and every negative naysayer who wants to just be drama-filled and talk about every problem on the planet is going to start to find you annoying. They will. Because every person who needs to take a crap wants to look for you to crap in. You guys know what I'm talking about. They do. And the moment that you close the lid and say, I'm not your crapper. I don't want to start to disregard the good things that are going on in my, what is God doing? What is the good things that, you know, about the Lord right now that we can talk about? Yeah, there's trouble that's come. Yes, we may be hemmed in by some things right now, but Paul said, eagerly anticipate in the waiting what God is about to do next. Talk about what he has done and begin to thank him and begin to value who he is in your life. And guess what? Wisdom will increase. Your joy will increase. Your peace will increase. Your finances will increase. Why? Because you are appreciating Jehovah Jireh. You are appreciating Jehovah Rapha. You are appreciating who he is. And the character of God, his goodness and all of that will begin to increase in quantity and value in your life. Not because of striving. Why? Because of what you're talking about. Now, when you disregard something, you show ingratitude and depreciate it. The word depreciate means to decrease in size, quantity, or value. So what you disregard and devalue leaves your life. It withers away. What you regard and value increases in your life. Yeah? Now these are principles that don't just apply to spiritual gifts, but relational and material gifts as well. I've seen people be so in love. They were saying all the right things. You know, when you're in that romantic stage, everything's good. I talk about the three stages of marriage at most of the ceremonies that I perform. But, hey, there's that romantic stage where everything's great and you're on cloud nine, right? Then all of a sudden, life happens. And after a while, the warm, fuzzy feelings wear off. And you start to see everything in 3D, HD, living color, all the flaws are there, you see them all, right? And there's pain. Sometimes you say things that you shouldn't say to one another. Listen, if you don't learn to turn it around and begin to talk right to one another, begin to value one another again, yeah, and you disregard and devalue those relationships in your life, guess what? That gift of your spouse, That gift of those good friends, that gift of that great employer, that gift of a great pastor, that gift of a great property. What happens? It becomes devalued, and eventually you lose them. I'm teaching well tonight. What do you have to say about it? Right? What on earth are we saying? Our words have so much power, not only to create wholeness within our soul and to increase our value and to increase the value of the things in our life that we need, but also in the lives of others. That's why it's a war. It is a war to see things and to know things and to not let those things stay in our head where we meditate on it until it slips down into our heart. Amen? That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5, the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of God. I like that. Taking every thought and purpose. And purpose. Right? When all of this happened with Pastor Rick, I talked to Dad every morning. I said, what do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do? He told me a lot of things, but he was very clear. He said, I'm always right. He's not being a smart aleck. He said, I'm always right. And I want you to be an example. I want you to make choices out of pain, out of purpose and not pain. Because you're in pain. But I'm with you right now in the pain. And the enemy is going to war against your mind. Every day. He has through this whole battle, but he's really going to war against your mind in the next 6 months to a year. He said, but you are going to rise to the occasion. He said, because you know how to take every thought captive and make it obey me. He said, I don't want you to speak as a victim. I don't want you going up on Facebook and putting all these sad, morbid posts up and processing all of your pain out there in social media. He says, you're going to be an example. I am the comforter. I will hold you through every painful hour. I will help you in your grief. You will be honest. But you're not going to run off and start making choices out of pain instead of purpose. If it does not align with my values, your values that you have according to my word, right? Doesn't align, and the enemy's lying to you or somebody else is trying to get you off course, you tear it down. Bring it down. Make everything, purpose, thoughts, everything, obey my word. And keep your mouth in alignment with who you are, the vision of the house, and where you're going. And to this date, you have watched me do so. And I give God all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Here's what I know. Just because we go through difficult times, it doesn't mean that we don't have a bright future. The day that I watched Pastor Rick be rolled out of the house on the gurney with the coroner, I cried. But the Lord said, I am near. And the latter part of your life will be greater than the former. Soul harvest is about to flourish. Soul harvest is about to grow. You will stay at the helm of the ship and you will fulfill the destiny that I've placed on your life. You aren't going to walk away and recede into isolation. You are not going to falter. You are not going to shake. You are not going to stumble. I will be your fortress and your strength, and it's going to be more than just something you read in the Bible. It's something you're going to feel every day of your life. And you know what? All of that was put into my heart. And tonight I'm standing in front of you and saying, out of the abundance of my heart, the mouth speaks. Soul Harvest and every person under the sound of my voice, you have been called for such a time as this. God has aligned you with this family. We are not DOA because there was a COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. I believe that the land is coming forth. I believe there will be miracles, signs, and wonders that come forth. You can give God praise for that. I feel more than ever that we are on the verge, on the precipice of God performing some of the greatest things we have ever seen in our midst. And some of us have been waiting for things for a very long time. Jesus said this in Matthew 12, and I'm about to wrap it up. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. And he's speaking to these religious people that were in charge of running the synagogues and supposed to be over people, helping people, but they were lording it over them. And Jesus says, you brood of vipers. In other words, he calls them a basket of snakes. How can you who are evil say anything good? So here he's back to this saying. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings forth good things out of the good stored up. How do we store up the good? We got to talk about it. So what are you going to say about it? What are you going to say? Let me tell you this. What you think about, you talk about. And if you don't learn to shift your thinking, you'll never shift your speaking. That's why we got to take those thoughts captive. Amen. If somebody is arguing with what God says in your life, listen, you're going to need to put a filter on that and not come in alignment with that and just guard your heart. And if you got to walk away and say, la, 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 Lord, you said this and I believe this, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've just been like, la, 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 no, 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 right? Because the devil's trying to get it in there. He wants you to store up what he has to say. But Jesus goes on to say, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Stored up. This is about storing up. Our heart is like an account. It's like a bank account. And if you put things in there of value, guess what? When you put money in a good account, it appreciates. It starts to grow in interest, right? There's an abundance of good things. But if you aren't storing up the good things into your heart, your life is going to become broken. You can't devalue yourself, even in your thought life or with your words, and expect to be a person of value. And Jesus goes on and says, but I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word. Now, I'm almost done. Empty word, circle that they have spoken. So this thing of speaking, this thing of our words, is going to follow us all the way to the day of judgment. He goes, for by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. You know, we're saved by what we say. If you believe it in your heart and you, what? Say it with your mouth. Well, we're saved because Jesus died on the cross. Well, there's the potential for salvation because Jesus died on the cross. But you're not saved until you say something. There has to be a declaration of faith in what he did. Salvation is believing in the heart and speaking with the mouth. Think about that. Some of you need salvation, and I don't mean just big, you know, initial salvation, but you need salvation, which is sozo. It's a Greek word, which means wholeness. You need wholeness for family members. You need wholeness in your finances. You need wholeness in your relationships. You need salvation. Now, when Jesus is talking about empty words here, an empty word is a word void of God's life, faith, and power. So Jesus is saying that on the day of judgment, you're going to be held responsible for every word that was void of my life and power. That challenges me. He's looking for people, vessels with a voice that he can fill with his life and power that will speak. I mean, you're going to go home and start thinking about what you're saying. What do you have to say about that? Now, I wanted it to be both convicting but also challenging tonight. Because you know, with me, I'm gonna give you the real. We worry so much about, well, you know, this person is doing this sin or that sin or whatever. And listen, we need to mind our own business. We just need to mind our own business. And start to think about the words and how much potential we have. Right here, to bring life and health. And Paul said this to the Ephesians. Man, they must have been some potty mouths. Like, I probably would have been part of the Ephesians church. Sitting there going, yes, Paul. Listen, he says to them, do not let. So when you see the word, do not let, that is an instruction, which means it's your responsibility to stop it. Don't allow it, don't permit it. Do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless. You see that word worthless? That is empty. Worthless is empty. It's void. So again, here's Jesus saying, on the judgment day, you're going to be held accountable for every empty word, every worthless word, every word that was void of my life and power. And Paul's saying, don't let empty words come out of your mouth. Vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for building up others according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. And then in Romans 15:12, it says each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. So what do we do? Number one, we need to start thinking about what we're thinking about. And we need to slow down and really think about what we're talking about. Because whatever you say, that's what you're going to have. Amen? I hope you're challenged tonight. After I saw that documentary or whatever on Emoto's study, something changed in my life. And I really began to, you know, I believe in affirmations. I believe in prayer. I pray a lot. I believe in speaking in tongues. I'm a fire baptized, tongue talking, Holy Ghost filled terror to the devil. Yes, I am. But I also began to think about the words that I speak. And I spend time each day, like, speaking over myself, speaking over my children, speaking over my property, speaking over my future, speaking. I mean, it just changed the way I feel about everything. And it was shortly after that, and I said, I'm going to do this for 21 days, you know, because that's a habit. I wrote a daily meditation. David said, let the meditation of my heart, remember? And the what? The words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight. So I wrote this long meditation. Sometimes I get tired trying to go through my own meditation. And it's nothing weird like, ooh, meditation. No. It's a biblical meditation that I wrote. And when I say meditation, I'm not sitting there vibing out or anything. I meditate in the Word of God. So I start, and I don't just ramble them off. I'll try to go slowly through them, and everything is affirming. Everything is adding value to your lives. Everything is adding value. And what I noticed was after I started that, and I'd been doing it about, about a month, I had several people walk up to me and say, your face is just glowing. I'm like, yeah, I got a new highlighter. No, I'm kidding. But it wasn't that. It wasn't that. And it was just odd because people hadn't said that for a long time, right? And all of a sudden, other people started noticing this, like, this glow, this light on me. And the only thing I could attribute it to was this intensity and this intentionality for that 21 days. I went on a negativity fast, and I decided that no matter what I felt, I was going to speak these words of value and appreciation and life, no empty words, over my life and over my future. I can tell you this. I have come through this last year, and it is really miraculous to have gone through what I've gone through. One of my children's at the back saying, yeah. Someone said, you're the strongest person I know. And listen, without God, I'm nothing. I'm as weak as anybody else who goes into a depression and isolates and withdraws and hurts. Okay, I do not patronize anyone. I know the feeling. But I have come through this year strong and full of joy and dancing in my home with Jesus and feeling his presence. Have I cried? Absolutely. It's not all a big party, but I can tell you this. The strength that you see in my life, I believe, is directly linked to what I've had to say about it. And I want to challenge you tonight as you get up and you go and stand to your feet and as you start to go home, whatever you're facing, you have the power to speak to it and either blow holes in your soul and shatter your soul or to bring yourself back together. Amen. And it's all based on what you say. And the safest thing to say is what God says. That's why I love Dr. Beth. She always tells me, speak only the word, and then she smiles. Speak only the word. The word is the safest thing to speak because it's life. It's active, it's sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword, rightly divided between bone and marrow, soul and spirit. It knows how to just cut the things that need to go off of our life. But the word of God is powerful. The Bible says no word from God is without power of fulfillment. I'm going to say that again. No word from God, I'll say it like this, is void of power to fulfill. The word of God is not empty. It's not worthless. It's not profane. It's not foul. It's not vulgar. It's not destructive. The word of God is going to bring results. That's why Isaiah said, your word will not return to you empty, void. But it shall go forth and then come back and produce that for which it was sent. Amen. Give God a big praise. I just want to speak over all of you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I declare life. I declare salvation for any person that has never claimed you as Lord. Lord, I pray right now of their own volition that they would just say, Jesus is Lord. If that's you, I just encourage you, say, Jesus is Lord. You know, I've been studying the five-fingered gospel because we do this at pastor's breakfast, right? God loves me. I have sin. Christ died on the cross to take care of it. If I believe, I will spend eternity in heaven. Everyone should know that, right? What do you do to believe? Lord, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Forgive me of my sins. I make you my Lord and Savior. That's it. That's how salvation comes. If you pray that or if you ever say that, you can rest assured that you are going to spend eternity in heaven and that you have now been given the authority to do what I said tonight. the hardest and most difficult thing to tame in all of the universe is your tongue. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, it can be done. So get out there and talk about what you want to come about. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends, click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.